David.
Well, I didn't told you that.
Okay.
Yeah, so you went there. No, I gave a presentation on the logo a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes. Okay.
He didn't like it.
He didn't like it. So I'm back.
The barbecue man said, "Who made that good-looking logo?" So
okay, and also for the record, Joe didn't make it tonight. He's absent. So now we get the public input. If anybody wishes to speak up, please state your name for the record.
Wes Lou, I just want to express my appreciation for Mr. Heath stepping up. It's kind of a thankless volunteer job that can consume, you know, all kinds of hours of your time. And thank you for doing
it. Well, I didn't know that. Where's my parking spot?
There's a few things we might have excluded from the brochure. So.
Thank you.
Shane?
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to associate myself with Wes's remarks. Thank David for your willingness to serve and welcome to the board. And I think we've got a good board.
So welcome. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, done with public input for now. And let's see, minutes. Approval of the NEA public minutes of May 16, 2018.
The minutes for the public session for May the 16th have been posted. On no changes recommended. I move make a motion to approve the May 16, 2018 minutes.
Okay.
Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor of approving the May 16 NAA public minutes?
Aye.
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 Okay, opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, Treasurer's Report, approval of the May 2018 financial statements subject to audit. This had Joe's name next to him. Susan, can you speak to this?
We didn't have much change from last month. We're still above our what we proposed for the year. We have one more month left in fiscal year 18. And on our income, we are year to date for our income, we're about $4,400. Higher than we had expected. Due to the same things that we discussed, and that includes taking a $20,000 loss that we didn't expect from our New Hampshire registration fees portion that we get allotted from the state of New Hampshire. So we didn't do bad. On our expenses, everything looks great. We're in line. We budgeted our expenses to be about $500,000 a year. Today we expense $422,000. So we're doing well there. Overall, we have an income of $26,000. And we are, our year to date variance is $67,000.
I had a question about, I know, didn't you bring up the CD?
Yes, I'm going to talk about it.
Okay. Thank you, Susan.
David, do you have any questions about the...
Am I on the right page?
I was just looking at 23 and 24.
Yeah. Okay, so I see the $26,000 year to date, and I'm seeing a negative $12,000 variance. You said it was $67,000?
That's for the month.
Month. I got you.
$67,000.
Okay. That's a
year
to date.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Okay.
$26,000 for the month, and then all the way to the year to date variance, $67,000
positive. To the positive?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
any other questions?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the pending
audit. Thank you. So we have a motion to approve the May 2018 financial statement subject to audit.
Second.
Discussion. Okay. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? So, motion carries. So, another part of the Treasurer's report is approval of the fiscal year 2019 budget. Do you want to speak to that as well? Or would you rather have Joe here?
It's not much different from last year. Chris and I and Joe, we sat down and went through all the numbers. It's pretty explanatory. Do you guys have any questions on it? Do you have comments? That would be great.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, on page 24, which is the back page of the budget,
yep.
Third item down the marketing. Mm-hmm. We've been budgeting $6,000, and as of May 31st, we'll have spent a little over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so the budget's been reduced to $5,000, and I would recommend that we not reduce that because I think we now have an opportunity to market the airport with passage of AP-124 and or whatever the other bill numbers, that we should take full advantage of that and start advertising in professional aviation publications that, as to our new competitiveness. And if we were to do that, in addition to something else I'm going to talk about later on, I think 6,000 would probably be a better number. I'm not saying that we have to change it right now. I think we should look at it.
If I could throw
just
some
go ahead
input there, I can't agree more. This one of the things I've just noticed over the years is that we need to do more, and it doesn't necessarily mean money. It's also I use the term resources, which is both time and money. And I agree that to reduce this at all, if anything, if we do have a projected surplus,
mm-hmm.
I think we double it. But I mean, that's just, again, not to say we're going to go out and spend it, just, you know, blow hole, you know.
So you think that the marketing should be projected at 10,000?
At this point, I want to go back. Again, I'm new to this. I'm just kind of taking it all in. But I think it needs to go up. I think it needs to be, because I agree with the opportunities we're going to have with 124 and other things, that you know, whether it's publication, whether it's print media, whether it's actually attending, you know, the NBAA or whatever conference makes sense for us,
mm-hmm.
I think there's just got to be more the opportunity. That was, again, not to say we're going to spend it,
right,
but we want to be able to do things if we need it, if it makes sense at the time.
I think it makes perfect sense. Any other thoughts?
I have just one question.
Any thoughts on the marketing? Should we need the marketing to increase the marketing?
I think we should leave the marketing. I think the marketing is...
You think we should increase it to 10,000?
Not 10,000. No, I think we should leave it at 6. Right, is it at 6?
That's no. That's 5.
Well, it was at 6 for a long time.
Well, I'm just kind of thinking, you know, from an accounting perspective, you take the surplus and roll it into this year.
Yes.
That's kind of where I'm coming from with that. But, you know, again, we absolutely need to be fiscally responsible for this whole budget. And I want to stress that I'm not suggesting that we're just going to go ahead and blow $10,000 on something.
Right.
I just feel, I mean, one of the reasons that I, you know, wanted to come on this board or agreed to come on it was just because from a business development perspective, I think this airport, I've always felt this has been a gem, underutilized, and it's been under-marketed. And I just, so if there's a line item on here that we want to, you know, fix, and that's not to, I keep coming back to this, it's not to say we're going to spend it.
It's just that we do have it.
And yeah, and if we have another surplus in it this year, great. You know, I'll just roll it in, you know. But I just feel we need to have the opportunity to do that.
So,
is
that Sal?
What's that?
You just roll it over?
Well, no, there's no usual. I mean, it's definitely, if there is a, you know, it's the old government approach sometimes, if you don't spend it, you lose it kind of thing. But it's not that that it's just automatic or that it's usually done. But I feel that with the surplus that we're coming into from this year, you know, 4,000 or 5,000, that's due to the marketing budget being underspent. I feel that we just have an opportunity to do that, to then take that surplus and add it to what we thought we might spend, or we're close to what we have spent in the past. And again, it gives us the opportunity. Nobody's going to come after us because we spent less than budget. But if we get to a point where we say, gee, we really need to do this, we really should do this marketing thing, and it's going to go, you know, it's going to cause the budget of our expenditure to go 2,000 or 3,000 over budget, I was like, yeah, you know, but we have that discretion too. We can leave it at the 5,000 and then just have that discretion to basically go through the height of the budget. But I'm just thinking if we address it now, then we have the opportunity to do it in the future.
Wes?
Wes Lou, for the record, I'd offer a couple of data points around those dollars. I recall that previous airport manager attended NBAA with Greg Lisson and Affinity Aviation, their booth, and I have a recollection that cost the airport something like $1,500 to share that space and travel expenses.
Sure.
So, you know, you can look at that versus however many dollars you want to put in the market budget. The other point is that I believe Mr. Scheifel did some research on the cost of improving the signage in front of the airport. And I remember that he was surprised by the size of those numbers. Mm-hmm. So again, that's something that you might want to factor into the number you pick for your marketing budget.
So Wes, you just mentioned NBAA and Greg. It turns out I had words with Greg just a day or two ago, and he's off at NBAA now. And you know, he intends to spread the word that Senate Bill 565 has passed, and he's going to spread word about what that means for basing aircraft in Nashua. So you know, he reiterated again. He says, you know, he said, you know, it's like, you know, all we need is, you know, just a few more airplanes. He says four airplanes, he said, would be a home run. Five more airplanes, he says, is a grand slam.
We would love to see Mr. Bird and Greg have the problem of not having enough hangar space for the would-be tenants.
Sure. Right. And, yeah.
I have a few more questions left to go.
Go ahead.
Do you want to build on this? Or do you want to?
Well, no, I don't want to cut off the data. Just if there's more to say about it. I know we've been focusing on the marketing part of the budget, but that's just because Bob part of it first. But it just, again, it gets back to you know, having the funds available, and you know, I have no idea how much it would cost to go on a marketing spree, if you will. I have no idea, but it would be a shame, I think, to get to the month of September, October, and say, well, we really can push this thing at these conferences or this opportunity that we have, and it's, oh, gee, it's not in the budget. We have to have that debate then. But anyway, that's just my only concern.
Ms. Susan, did you have more?
Yes, I just agree with him. We prefer to be there than not to be there.
Chris?
So I agree with what Dave has just said, and I think it's a perfect opportunity now that these bills have passed to attend these NBAA meetings and get the word out. And I know Greg's working on our behalf, but I think that I should definitely attend some of these meetings with him, and we can really get the word out. And looking at other avenues of advertising this, it may be on, you know, Boston television stations, et cetera, talking about our victory in the House.
And some of that stuff we can get for free. We do press releases and whatnot. Those
yep.
are the things that we can definitely, like after the signing tomorrow, that's something that we should talk about to just draft a press release or several and just put them out over the next 3 weeks, one a week. And let all the media pick it up, and let especially in the commercial and the business aviation community pick it up and do what they want with it.
So, Chris, for sake of the budget, are you suggesting we leave that at 6 or roll in the...
I think Dave's right. I think we should bring it to 10, double the 5 that's on there, go to 10. We don't have to spend it all. As you know, I try not to spend any of it, but we will spend some of it this year.
Okay. Under promise and over deliver.
Okay. Any more discussion around the
budget? Well, I just want to say, on Monday of this week, I was in this room attending the city's meeting, and this room was filled with people from the Nashua area. And when they went around the room asking where everybody was from or representing, I said Nashua Airport. And two people sitting right next to me said, there's an airport in Nashua. And somebody else came over to me and said, where is the airport in Nashua?
Yeah.
So we have a visibility problem. We need to energize the system and take advantage of free press releases and get the word out. The union leader is running stories on every single article that the governor signs. There's a piece on it. And it's a freebie.
I have a few more.
No. Make it so we don't forget. And don't forget, your consultant will probably advertise free for you. We have a blog website.
Sure.
We can repost it to our LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. That's just about every airport from the entire New England region.
It's on board and does it from the state, because it's not just us.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're willing to do that for you. We've done it for other airports.
Okay.
There is an option.
Thank you.
So I want to apologize because, you know, Susan, I know you got this to me earlier. I just haven't had a chance to pick at it here. So the disposal services, that does not have a number.
Right. And we now have our trash collected from the city of Nashua.
Oh, yes. Okay, thank you. And then the telephone and internet, that looks like it went up substantially.
It went up substantially, but we also, if you look at other revenues, utility reimbursement,
mm-hmm.
it gets reduced by $2,000 there. So we get it back. So I'm expecting the whole amount that we spent up for the year, but then at the end of the fiscal year in June, we receive those funds back from Pine River.
Okay. And then the board discretionary expense, I know over the years that if we spend money out of our own pocket mm-hmm. or whatever, that comes to us at the end of the year.
Right.
And I know in the past, and I want to talk about it now before I'm up here at Christmas to give gifts, I think, in my opinion, as board members, we want to give a gift to the employees out of the goodness of our own heart. My personal opinion is it shouldn't come out of that, that money. That should come out of our money. And then as far as bonuses and other things like that, do you have enough work in there, Susan, somewhere for employee bonuses?
I do not.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think we ought to do about something like that, employee bonuses?
Well, I think there should be money budgeted for that.
To do a line for that?
Yeah.
Where is it typically shown in the wages?
I would put both. If there were 2 weeks of bonuses, I would put them in the wages.
Right.
That's what I would do.
That's when you pay it, but is there a budget line as well? There has not been.
So in the past, we've handled this by.
It usually comes out of wages.
Okay.
Yeah, out of the full time wages. And then also in regards to Jamie, if you guys want to vote on just for the remaining amount of the discretionary expense to the board of the 24/75 against amongst the board members. Yeah.
That's actually in June.
It's June. expect to approve before July 1.
All right. So, what do you think?
So, okay. So, I'm looking for a motion where we pass the budget with a couple of modifications. One of them is increasing, you know, marketing to $10,000. And do we need a specific line item for employee bonus?
No, that can just be.
I think if you want, what I can do is I can increase the full time wages if you want.
Yeah, that's where it's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want me to, it's
$240,000.
At least. I was thinking we were going to double that.
Easy, big guy.
Come on, Dave, help us out.
Dave, do you have any suggestions about that? I know.
I don't know what typically goes on, so I really, you know, if I'm all for bonuses when merited. So if there's no bonuses in this budget right now,
right,
you probably ought to throw some in there. I don't know how much,
but
we have dealt with no difficulty whatsoever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, we probably don't. I think it's just kind of like what we were talking about with the marketing budget. You know, we can always, we don't want to overspend the budget on the bottom line.
Right.
Yeah,
so right now, with the increase of the marketing $10,000, our spending from projected would be $13,750.
Right.
So I'm not sure what you want to, if you want to increase the full time wages to an additional $5,000 to cover.
And it doesn't mean we have to spend
What does the board typically do? I know a lot of not-for-profits, which were kind of an enterprise fund and all that, but they basically zero out the bottom line.
Exactly.
Zero base budget. You know,
we don't do that.
Okay. So, but we can put. Okay. But yeah, I mean, if we want to. Or just spend it.
So we need a motion. To up the marketing to $10,000.
Yes.
To up the wages another
$5,000.
And to disperse the board discretionary
remaining balance.
The remaining balance. Is that correct? Is that all we're looking for?
Right.
Was there anything else?
I can't think of it for the moment. So.
Okay.
I'm looking for a motion to approve the budget.
With amendments.
With the amendments as follows. Increase the marketing budget to $10,000. Create a line item or increase the wages by a figure of $5,000. And disperse the discretionary. Which line item is that?
The remaining balance fiscal year 18. Now, my
account. Account 51,700.
51,700. Oh, yes.
Susan, what happens to the board members who are gone?
What?
Traditionally,
give it to the new guy. Sorry, I just had this.
Good one, Dave.
Farrell, can I ask a question about the wage,
yes,
wages, and Susan can help with this. I'm a little behind on doing Matt's review because we got wrapped up with this FADOT inspection, and his review is past due, and we'll discuss this in private session, but he will be due for a merit increase.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to incorporate something in? Do we need to incorporate something into that or no? Okay. I just didn't want it to fall short.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Okay.
So there's a motion,
or do we have a motion?
Yeah. So we want to keep that separate, Susan, the remaining discretionary.
I think. Okay. Yeah, I think.
So I'll make a motion pending audit.
Well, I don't know.
No,
we
don't
put on to kind
no.
of.
Okay. Nope.
Make a motion to increase marketing budget to $10,000 and the wages another $5,000.
And otherwise approve the existing budget.
And otherwise approve the budget as presented.
Second house.
Okay. Discussion. If there's no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And motion carries.
Can I just make a comment, please, all around this?
Yes,
it has nothing to do with raising the money. When I first came on board, I expressed some serious concerns about the condition of Perimeter Road. And I ran into a brick wall. I was told, well, the city doesn't own it, and it's never going to get done. And, you're going to need about $600,000 to do it, et cetera, et cetera. And then when I sat in the office for a couple of months, 8 months ago, before Chris came on board, I was a little bit annoyed that we were paying to have the garbage picked up when everybody else in the city gets free services from the city of Nashville. And I said, well, we need to do that. And again, I hit a wall and I was told, well, it's the city is not going to come on and pick it up. And I'm very pleased to say that through the efforts of Chris and Susan, the city has acknowledged that the road belongs to them and it will eventually get on and pay the project. And the dumpster has been provided by the city, correct? And we've just saved $1,000 a year or whatever it is. So my point is, keep asking questions because it makes sense.
Okay, so now I'd like to make a motion to disperse the board discretionary.
The remaining balance for fiscal year 18?
Yes, please.
Second. Discussion? Okay. No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. So that brings us to communications. Bob?
Okay, we have seven communications, all of which are available for inspection at the airport. The first one is a letter of communication from the chairman of the board to the DOT requesting specific information on aircraft registration at Nashville Airport. So that he could look at why we were taking such a dramatic reduction in the fees that we get back from the state. And the second attached to that, if you will, is the response from the Hampshire DOT in reply to the original request. The next one is a letter from New Hampshire DOT on the some findings in Hangar 15, which resulted from that anonymous complaint to inspection, and so that was that letter. The next two letters are from National Jet Aviation. One was a request to extend three leases, and the second letter is to withdraw that request. And then the last one is a request from National Jet Aviation for approval for use of a hangar for non-aeronautical use. Again, all of those letters are available for inspection.
So I'd like to make a comment about my request to DOT for registration data for aircraft based at Nashua. I won't go into gory details, you know, right now. But the good news is that late this afternoon, NHDOT responded positively to my request. I now have a spreadsheet full of registration data for aircraft based at Nashua for the years 2014 through 2018. So, you know, it's in a format that I can, you know, I can use, and you know, I'll start crunching the numbers and you know, see what I come up with. See what we can learn about the revenue shortfall from the registration monies this fiscal year. So that's good news. I'm very pleased that DOT responded positively to that.
Well, I just see this 6/5/2018 board nomination?
Yes, so I wrote to the mayor, talk about Maria Burns, who was considering a role on the board, and I think to replace herself. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote to the mayor to say that I think Maria is a very strong candidate for the board. I think she would do a lot of good here. And part of that letter was to suggest that residency in Nashua shouldn't be a primary consideration for service to this board. Instead, what really counts is what kind of stake do each of us board members have in the board. And so that was the case I made for Maria.
I haven't heard any more about that. I know there's at least one other name and I haven't heard anything else. I don't know anyone else has, but that should be, that's the mayor's decision, and then it comes to the process. So we'll see where that goes.
That is the mayor's desire. The only other glitch that is a glitch is the political affiliation rule that is supposed to be balanced.
Subsequent to my letter to the mayor, I learned that the candidate that he's considering for the board is a gentleman named Brian Block, and I think David, you know Brian. I think Shane knows Brian, and it's like it sounds like he would be a pretty strong candidate.
Yeah, I know. I think the mayor's got some pretty good ideas as to what. I think Maria, I don't know her that well, but from what I've heard about her, she would make a great addition to this board. And the good news is that the mayor has chosen, to investigate or to look into someone else that would be equally as strong in perhaps a different discipline. Brian, the candidate's not a pilot, but two things that the airport does is fly planes and handle real estate. And the candidate's strength is definitely in real estate. So it's not like it's totally outside the scope of what we do. So I think it's going to work out well. The mayor wouldn't. I don't think he would appoint anybody that would be controversial. Put that way.
So, no more questions or no more comments from the board. Okay. So that moves us on to reports. And town report. For the month of May, we've had 5,590 operations. The variance versus the same month last year is we're up 982 operations, or 21%. Now that's a very good number. So we're happy to we're happy to see that. Yeah, let's see.
Does that also include our shutdown too?
Yes, I think it would have been inclusive of the shutdown. Yep. So that's pretty impressive.
I think we shut down on every month. It's all a pent up flying that people want to do.
And let's see, if I look at the individual traffic counts, we have, let's see, 1975 IFRGA, 1907 VFRGA, and let's see. I'm looking for the numbers for turbines. Is that in the AT column, Chris?
I believe it's right here, 58.
Okay.
For the month of May.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. So the counts are up, and that's despite the shutdown, which is pretty cool. And airport manager, please.
Okay, recent events. On June 2nd, we had EAA Young Eagles, sponsored by Air Direct. Pretty successful event, except for maybe Farrell's flight.
Flight was successful. Traumatized
with a lot.
I have not received the numbers from Dave yet. I had also requested from Dave a list of all the participants in terms of the volunteers, the pilots, and the help, so that we could send a letter of thank you to them. I've not received that yet. The turnout was okay. I think this event needs to be advertised a lot more, because last year it was obviously a lot busier when we did it. So we'll look forward to helping them advertise this for the next event in October. June 9th, the Aviation Museum of New Hampshire had their fly-in barbecue at the Nashua Airport, and Nashua Jet was kind enough to offer their Hangar 81 for their barbecue. They had a pretty good turnout. Not a lot of planes came in, but the hangar was full of people that were donating to the Aviation Museum and partaking in the activity. Uneventful, no problems. We had sectioned off the tower ramp to separate the traffic from all the other traffic at the airport, and everything went very smoothly. Upcoming events, July 11th through the 15th of July, we have the Air Power History Tour that we've talked about. The B-29 Super Fortress Fifi will be here, along with the C-45 Expediter and a T-6 Texan. They're going to arrive Monday afternoon on July 9th. Meet the press for pictures, stories, no public on that day. Then the crew will take an afternoon off and on Tuesday, and then open to the public Wednesday the 11th. It'll be from 9 to 5 daily through Sunday, July 15th, at which point they'll depart Monday morning, and hopefully that event goes off without a hitch. We have an area that we've already planned for them to use out on the tower ramp. I've coordinated with SNHU as well as Air Direct. We're going to possibly move some of their planes off of that ramp for this event, and they're all for it. So this should be a really good hit. Later on in the summer, September 14th and 15th, we have our Summer Fun 2018 movie night for the 14th. And we just had a meeting, and they've decided that the movie is going to be Disney's Pixar's Coco. And on the 15th, the following day, our Summer Fun 2018 Wheels and Wings event. In conjunction with that and other items of interest, on June 1st, I met with Jeff DeSalvo from National Parks and Rec Department to begin planning for the event. And we went down our list of all of our contacts, and within the next month, we're going to start contacting all these people and get confirmations. Other items of interest, the land use hangar use inspections were completed on June 1st. We're awaiting final reports from the Department of Transportation, Bureau of Aeronautics, and the FAA. June 9th, we already talked about this, I'm sorry, but thank you to Nashua Jet again for providing the hangar space. And on June 15th, the Airport Authority at our building at 93 Perimeter Road, we had our customer appreciation barbecue. And my estimates are, we had approximately 100 people attend, and everybody had a good time. So it was a great event. And another thing that we had, and Nick's going to speak a little more about this when he comes up, we completed the groove and seal project and remark project on the runway. And although we got delayed due to weather, when it was all said and done, the final week that we did it, we had great weather all week. We had rain one night, but we had fantastic weather, and everything went as planned, on schedule, and it came out fantastic. I've heard a lot of compliments from pilots, and maybe some people in the audience can speak about it as well. The markings are beautiful. The grooving, people had some concerns about the grooving. It's actually pretty smooth. I landed on it the other day, and I couldn't tell you I was on groove pavement. It's probably because I was bouncing so bad down the runway. But
if anyone has questions on the groove pavement, I've done a lot of research. I just gave that presentation to the Florida Airports Council.
Okay.
I spoke for an hour. I got 38 minutes in and said, should I just stand up here or what? Because I ran out of material. But I've done a lot of research, and I know a lot about the tire wear associated with it, things like that, things that pilots would typically be concerned with. So send them in my direction. I can answer any questions.
And I can also tell you I was up in the tower. Excuse me. And I was up there one day when our Falcon that's based on the field landed. It was raining. It was raining pretty hard. And I was about to ask the controller, Mark, could you get him to give us a report? What do you think about the groove pavement? And no sooner did I start to speak, and all of a sudden the pilot came on. He said, hey, I want to tell you guys, this groove pavement is awesome. They did some really hard braking to test it, and he said normally the anti-skid brakes would come on about four times, and he said they did not come on at all, and the thing came to a screeching halt. So they're very happy with it. And anybody have any questions?
Those are all part of the marketing piece, too.
Yep.
All those kind of stories.
No questions. Okay. Oh, actually, I'll point out something. That's on the tape. You ought to get that for Dave's parking.
Good.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. So, airport engineer, please.
Okay.
Thank you,
Director Woods. Matt Caron with Gale Associates for the record, and welcome aboard, Director View. So during the May Authority meeting, at the recommendation of the Master Plan Committee, Alternative 6 was approved as the preferred alternative. That alternative was subsequently sent to Susan via PDF, and that is up on the website. We did get some comments back from NHDOT, but to date, I don't know if we've received any other additional comments from the public, but if there is any, feel free to send them along. We'd be happy to take a look at them and update that alternative accordingly. I did get with Chris today. We went over some additional data collection items that were required for Chapter 6, the Future Airport Development, and Draft Chapter 7, Sustainability. The remaining chapters, Chapter 8, which is Development of Alternatives, Chapter 9, Schedule of Improvements, and Chapter 10, Airport Compliance, those are all now in draft format, along with a draft of the airport layout plan. And I'm going to get with Director Woods to start planning our next master plan committee, get that information distributed to that group, have that meeting, take any questions or comments, and then put together a draft final for the authority to approve at some point in either the July or August authority meeting. Per the standard operating procedures for the airport layout plan, it's required to go through an initial review with the FAA, and this is to resolve any sort of issues, questions, comments that they may have prior to the ALP being uploaded into the OE AAA process. So we've initiated that process. The draft ALP is ready to rock and roll. I plan on getting that up to FAA, or in this case, DOT, for their initial review so they can make up any comments, questions like that. We can address that. Excuse me. That process tends to take a little bit longer, getting that approved through FAA and then subsequently uploaded. So the sooner we can get that conversation started, the sooner we can begin to start working on closing out the master plan project. That's all I have for the master plan. Is there any questions, comments? And I know Director Heath may have some questions or comments, or even may like a little overview as to what we've done to date. I'd be happy to sit down with you at your convenience and just let you know what's happened, where we are, the direction that the master plan committee and subsequently the authority are looking to go.
Sure. At some point we can get caught up to that. Thank you for that offer. I'm sure I'll be bothering people.
Yeah.
Susan's going to go, no.
I don't know if we're coming on board the same time.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah, you have to do that. So, if there's no other questions, I'll turn it over to Nick.
Okay. So project number two on the monthly update is the pavement maintenance project. Again, this project is complete. It has been complete for some time. A change order was prepared. It would be change order two. That is currently at NHDOT's approval. That change order includes the emergency drainage repairs that were done on the G5 apron. As soon as that change order is approved by NHDOT, we'll be ready to process closeout and final payment for the contractor. A meeting was conducted on May 23rd with Continental Paving, with the owner Rick Charbonneau and his project manager Bruce Bauer, to evaluate the cracks that have reflected up through the newly overlaid pavement. At this meeting, it was determined that the corrective action would be to route the cracks and then seal them. Luckily, we have a contractor who's on site with an open grant that does that sort of work. That's Seal Coating Inc. We've requested a price from them. That price was provided. It came back at $6,324. So in processing change order number one for the Groove and Seal project, which includes a number of things that I'll get to during that project, we'll carry that fee as part of the Groove and Seal project to get that work done.
Doesn't Continental share some responsibility for that?
At that meeting, we sort of pushed for that, but at the end of the meeting, it was sort of agreed upon that the new pavement is not actually failing. They would be willing to correct whatever issue would result if the pavement were failing, but this is sort of an issue with the underlying pavement that was overlaid, and that's sort of typical. Any imperfection in that underlying layer is going to reflect up through eventually. It just came about very quickly, but again, I don't see much recourse we have in justifying it as something that Continental did that was incorrectly done.
Can I speak a little bit, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was in this meeting with Nick and the gentleman who owns Continental, Rick Charbonneau, as well as Bruce Bauer. And we looked at every crack out there. And what they basically said, we kind of knew this is what the deal was, the airport had chosen to do the project in a certain way. And that method was to mill and overlay, when the correct method should have been to do a reclaim job on it, where they would remove all the existing asphalt, reprep the base, add aggregate, etc. And that would have been the best way to do it. But apparently at the time when the authority decided to take on this project, they were trying to stretch the dollar. And unfortunately, stretching the dollar meant going with this overlay method. And then we had a winter where we had a lot of freeze and thaw activity, and it made the problem worse. So all the cracks we have are cracks that were in the existing pavement beneath that was not removed, and it just comes right up through the brand new pavement.
So the failure was then in the initial decision not to dig up the old stuff and put the new stuff down.
Correct.
We had a little different makeup on the board at that time.
I understand.
And going forward, we've discussed, Nick and I have discussed, that I don't want any Band-Aid projects like that. I think we're better off in the future tackling the problem for a long-term solution, so you're not spending the money twice on the same project. If you don't do quite as large an area, well, at least the area that you've done is going to last far longer than this. I mean, this proved it, not even a year, and it's full of cracks.
Wes?
Wes, I recall that really doing the job right would have added $100,000 to full cost. And we'd love to do that, but I believe I recall the time quite a bit of debate. And I guess in the end, if you say $200,000, then it's been $6,000 now. Well, you know, that's a quality of life decision.
Oh, yeah, if it doesn't keep coming back.
Right.
But can I just...
Go ahead.
Chris, I'm sorry, I still have this other thing. That tower communication talked about, is that... you know what the date was on that?
No, but I can figure it out.
Okay. But, okay, so this is the project, this is the one you're talking about is finishing up the runway expansion. That's the big one. Is that
no? This,
okay,
so
this
project
is the
was
improvement.
Yes,
down
the corporate taxi lane.
Yeah, the
hotel,
the brick hangar,
in front of the brick hangar,
yeah.
All of Alpha Ramp, and
yeah.
Then the T hangars.
Okay,
that are adjacent to that corporate area.
Okay,
and kind of proof positive that the pavement didn't fail, like Rick and okay. Bruce let us know, is we did reclaim some of those areas, like in front of the brick hangar. That was a total reclaim. That pavement looks perfect.
Okay.
There's not a crack in it.
It's like between the 15 and 17, I guess, is all that was all redone.
Yep, that was all reclaimed. We did have a couple of cracks there. But once again, you know, in speaking with Carol Nuola from DOT, I mentioned this to her, and she said everybody that did a paving project last year had cracks everywhere because of the freeze and thaws.
Right.
So for the cracks that we have, you know, they thought they would see more.
So what do you think you'll have an amount for that?
The crack sand?
Yeah.
That was provided by Seal Coating, and it came in at $6,324.
Can you take any action on this?
Where are
you? It's not listed. I just have notes written down on it. And I'll get to that as I go into the next project.
Nick, I have a question.
Sure.
How long has Change Order 2 been at DOT waiting for approval?
Long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can get you a date on it, but I'm guessing it's somewhere January, February.
Okay. You don't have to get it exactly.
Because we were ready to process closeout documentation at that time.
Okay.
And DOT requested that those repair line items be separated from the actual grant for whatever accounting reasons there may have been. And we sent that in. It just has not been approved to this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions regarding the paid maintenance project?
I have one for
yes.
Start. Do you think this will not be approved? Is there any chance it won't be approved?
I have no reason to think it wouldn't be. I just think it was a mechanism that would allow DOT to track those funds separately for whatever reporting reasons. I think because emergency repairs, they were emergency repairs. They weren't included in the original plan set. Were not ever reviewed or approved by FAA or DOT, so I don't see a reason why they wouldn't be approved. They were line items that were already in the project to begin with. They just exceeded the contract amount. That's a good question. I sent Carol a draft change order, and she seemed to give it her blessing. So now it's just a matter of getting her signature and putting it in the closeout report. So moving on to project number 3, which is the groove and seal. Phase 1 already completed. Phase 2 is in a stoppage right now. Seal coating ink is completed, sealing all project areas. The first coat of pavement markings have been installed and the runway has been reopened. Per the contract, the second coat of pavement markings may not be applied until the sealant has cured for a period of 30 days. It's anticipated that the project will be held in stoppage until the end of summer so that operations are not affected by a second closure. We'll come back. We'll do another day, possibly 2-day closure sometime in the fall when ops are low to get the second coat of markings on. Have you guys noticed any yellowing?
Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit. So we made this decision. At the time we were doing it, we talked about putting both coats of the paint down at the same time. There was some conflict between the contractors. One said you could, one said you couldn't. So we had to make a decision. And I made the decision, and the decision was to postpone the second coat. Because if, in fact, we had bleed through from the sealant into the paint, you'd have brown-white lines everywhere. Well, shortly after we made this decision, it became evident that we did have some bleed through, and now we've had a lot more bleed through in other areas. So I think we made the right decision. And the decision that we made was to tackle this sometime in September when the aircraft movements are a lot lower, and we still have reasonable temperatures. And this paint, he said a day and a half to take care of this. We'll do the runway one day and another day with a closure, a complete closure for the day. And then the other day we'll do all the fillets that service the runway without closing the airport.
Without closing it at all?
Yep. We'll just close the taxiways as we need to.
So my suggestion, shoot for the end of the month, because beginning of the month is a holiday weekend, and then we have all that.
That's what we did. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of the 24th or...
Sometime the weekend.
Because when we do this, do we consult or at least touch base with some of the corporate operators?
Yeah.
Say, look, we're thinking about this. Do you guys have anything going? I know a lot of times they don't know when they're going somewhere, but, do we actually take their input and...
Yeah, every time we do anything, whether it's snow removal or any closures, I'm in very close contact with all of the corporate operators. I speak to them over the phone personally, and we work on any details, and if they need any assistance with anything, we try to accommodate them. And fortunately, throughout these projects, a few of the planes were down for maintenance, pilots were on vacation, and the timing of this couldn't have worked out better. We had to relocate a couple of the planes to Manchester because they still needed to fly, and they were okay with that because they would prefer that we did the upgrades to the airport. Everybody was absolutely thrilled at the outcome of this project.
Okay. And then the second new bullet here is NHDOT has reviewed draft change order number one and provided feedback to Gale on what needs to be provided to obtain approval for the work. Gale has made the necessary changes and is currently awaiting cost estimates for the change order work from the contractor. Again, Seal Coating has provided their price. But additionally, included in the change order is going to be work to relocate the existing hold position marking at the boundary of the runway safety area, install an associated lighted guidance sign at the relocated hold position marking, to install an ILS hold position marking at the location of the current hold position marking on the 32N back at the entrance to the stub leading to the runway, to install new sign panels on the two existing hold position signs at the new ILS hold position marking, and again to have the crack repair work in areas of observed cracking in project number two repaired as part of this. Review of the remaining budget shows that the work associated with all of these change order items should fit within the contractor's contract. There was a line item for temporary noise barrier when they got adjacent to the homes on Pine Hill here that was not necessary to use. So we have a $20,000 underrun in that item based on the estimate from Seal Coating of $6,324, and then we're still waiting on the estimate from the electrical contractor, but based on similar work in the past, it would be about $8,500 for the new sign and hook it up, and about $1,200 for the new sign panels on the two existing hold signs. So that puts us at about $16,500, which can be absorbed by that $20,000 underrun. So at least at this time, it doesn't look like it'll be any issue. We're going to carry a final item in the change order that will be reductions, so that way the change order shows a net change of $0 to the overall contract. And we've We coordinated with Carol on all of her comments, and she actually responded and said she's glad we're holding off on the second coat of marking until September, because that'll give us a chance to finalize this change order, get all the work approved. So, recommended actions for projects 2 and 3, they're not at this time. We're sort of in a holding pattern waiting for the estimate to come in from the electricians, and then we'll send that up to DOT for approval. Any questions regarding the groove and seal? Okay. And project number 4 is the purchase of the snow removal equipment. Again, this project is currently waiting a grant offer from NHDOT. Upon receipt of funding, Gail will prepare the letter of recommendation to award the contract to Milton Cat. But until we get a grant, it's sort of in a holding position. Any questions regarding the SRE project?
Sure. How long has that one been waiting at DOT?
We sent that in prior to the April 1st application deadline. I checked the FAA website today. They've announced the New Hampshire block grant and the amount it's for, but they have not issued any funds yet. So I don't believe that this is a hang-up at DOT. I just think the FAA hasn't released the block grants yet.
Okay, fair enough.
How long is the pricing going to last?
We require in the contract documents that Milton Cat honor that bid price for $150. Yes.
And so that was originally, when does that clock start?
March 26th.
March 26th, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right here, sorry.
And how long is it going to take them to build this thing?
Contract time is 120 days.
Okay. Is it, you know, we're looking at a little bit of a squeeze play with the next snow season.
Mm-hmm. We certainly are. And it's our hope that the grants come in pretty soon here. Mm-hmm. But until the FAA releases their block grant and then DOT will write the grant off, it has to go through governor and council. It could be a few months. Ideally, it'll be sooner than later, but again, the 120 days, depending on where Milton Cat is at with their manufacturing process, they may have the equipment on the lot waiting, and then they just have to add the lights and things like that, the specific equipment for the airport, or it may have to be manufactured, but we'll find out more on that topic when we issue the purchase order.
Chris, can Matt keep the Fiat Atlas going for a little longer?
Yes. We had discussed that, actually, and we're going to hang on to that machine at least through the first season. We had a discussion with Rick Charbonneau, who has a lot of insight on equipment, as he has hundreds of pieces. And he said, do not get rid of that right away, because you will have bugs that you'll have to work out in the first year of owning the brand new machine. So the Fiat Alice is ready to go.
We have a Fiat deposit runway.
It's a two-seater.
I had a Fiat.
It's a convertible, too.
Fix it again, Tony. So I'm sorry if I missed this. I'm kind of drinking through a fire hose while this information here. But the bid from Milton was $399, but yet our project cost was $375. But you may have talked about the difference a little bit.
The estimated project cost based on the funding you see here was estimated by Gail.
Okay.
What the project may cost. I actually do have to go in here and update this to reflect the proper bid.
Okay.
And the project actually comes in more than that because Gail's fee gets attached to that as well. Kim, what was the total?
405
or something like that.
Okay, so that 375 is going to go to 405 at some point, and then the various percentages be pushed back up.
Correct.
And DOT is aware of that?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you think there was only one bid?
We actually expected two. The John Deere dealer was supposed to submit a bid at about five of. We only had one bid. in the opening was 5 minutes away. We called the deer rep and he said, oh yeah, we forgot to get the, what was this, the bid bond?
Yeah.
Forgot to get the bid bond, so they couldn't submit. So, may have been a blessing in disguise. I think the airport preferred the CAT machine. But that would be the reason why. And then, as far as the other manufacturers, they aren't American made. So, the requirements are covered. Any other questions?
Not on there.
Okay. A brief update on, if we're moving on to general items, on the supplemental appropriations, the omnibus bill for a billion of extra FAA dollars. They released the list of airports on the priority consideration list, and unfortunately there are only three airports in New Hampshire on that list, Manchester, Pease, and Lebanon. So at least for the time being, it appears that this 100% funding from FAA is going to go only to those airports in the state of New Hampshire. But if there are surplus funds in 19 and 20, Nashua and Gail, on your behalf, can notify the FAA of your intent to apply for a grant beginning, I believe, October 30th of this year. So if there is a shovel-ready project or one that can be designed and we're able to start construction within 6 months of the grant issuance, there is the opportunity to have the project funded 100% by the FAA.
Question?
Yes.
We've discussed the paving project on the other end of the field, mm-hmm. like we did on the T-hangers in Corporate Row. And when were we planning on a scoping meeting with New Hampshire DOT with that?
We can begin scoping that at any point. I think we may want to have it follow your CIP meeting, because I think currently the next project is...
might be EA.
Is it the EA after the master plan? And that's not to say you can't have two projects in a year, but to get the CIP in order, to reorganize the projects that you want to place
okay.
priority on.
You do your CIP first.
Yeah.
Right.
And finalize that, and then we go to scoping.
Okay. Which aren't that far off.
Just to be shovel-ready, like you said.
Yep.
I think that's how we want to take care of that. So.
Okay, I got CIP. I'm missing the EA part.
Environmental assessment, sorry.
Okay.
I'll avoid acronyms.
There's a lot of acronyms. I'll tell you what, right. If I can get your email address, I'll send you this.
Could you send it to me, too?
Yeah.
Go ahead. General items? Are we good on that? You good on that?
I'm good.
I haven't mislabeled this, actually. It should be 75 and a half Pine Hill Road, not Perimeter Road. But on June 7th, Farrell and I had a very interesting evening attending the National Planning Board hearing. There's a proposed two-lot subdivision located at 75 and a half Pine Hill Road that's at the corner, I suppose, of Sharon Ave and Pine Hill Road. There's a vacant piece of land that is contiguous with a piece of property on Pine Hill Road, and they're looking to subdivide that. Director Woods, I don't know if you want to jump in here, but spoke on behalf of the airport expressing concern as the proposed subdivision is within the limits of the airport's approach surface in the airport's runway protection zone. So we did speak to certain height restrictions and concerns to that nature. Planning Board ultimately approved the subdivision, but they did put the restrictions on there that they would want to see, you know, heights, I think, no greater than maybe 32 feet, I think it was. Director Woods and I spoke with the owner, the developer, and the owner's attorney. They seemed very amenable. They didn't seem to be standoffish when we were approaching them regarding, you know, the different restrictions and heights and stuff like that. They had asked for us to send over perhaps some abrogation easement language that they might associate with the property, and they've also talked about potentially selling the piece of land to the airport. Did I miss anything on that?
No.
Pretty well
protecting the RPZ is a high priority to the FAA.
Oh, yes.
That would be likely a candidate for discretionary funding.
Who's the owner?
It's the private owner, so I don't
right.
I forget his name. Off the top of my head, I forget his name.
Is this that house? Okay, there's a fence. Is it like a wooden split rail fence around the corner property?
Opposite side of the street.
And then,
So if you were coming, if the airport was on your right,
coming like it comes from the highway,
coming from Amherst,
no.
Amherst Street.
Sharon.
You're on Sharon Ave. Sharon Ave. Okay. Street.
Yes.
Airport's on your right.
Yes.
You'd get to Pine Hill Road, take a left, you'd be the second house on the left hand side. And this property kind of snakes around and then it has frontage on Sharon Ave.
Yeah. The house on the corner is actually completely surrounded by this lot.
Right.
So, what if, I was thinking it was the lot, the empty lot where they tore down the house.
No,
so
that's.
And then there's, what is that house with the. What is that house next to that?
That's Mr. Ford's property.
Okay, so that's a private person owns that.
Yeah. Yes,
correct.
Still lives there. A small ground house?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's not interested in giving that up.
No, sure. So this is actually on the other side.
On the opposite side.
Of Sharon Ave.
Yeah. Yes. So the property name is definitely amenable to entertaining offers for it. Like I said, I don't think there was any issue with certain height restrictions. I think they want to work with the airport. I didn't get the impression that, you know, they wanted to do something that was in conflict with the airport. I don't know how you felt, Carl. That was
I had the same impression.
Yeah.
Well, 32 feet is that's a 2.5 story house.
Right.
So I don't think that's
an issue. You know, and it was worth noting that perhaps the, you know, the highest object in that general neighborhood is, you know, ironically, a telephone pole with an obstruction light sitting on the top of it.
So. I always worried more, not so much about the construction or the impediment to aviation. I worry more about the buyer getting in there and saying, whoa, there's a lot of noise here.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part. So I would almost say, I don't know if we can do it from a legal perspective, it's just, is there a way to put a covenant or some sort of easement, you know, noise easement in the deed that says, okay, you can do this, but be aware.
You get a blinking neon sign, put it on the road,
right.
Arrow that says
airport.
Yeah, and that house is at a pretty good spot where those rails can clash right in his bedroom.
Yeah.
West Lou.
West Lou. Explain what an navigation easement is.
So an navigation easement is something that's typically imposed on a property where you restrict certain height limitations on what a property owner can build, albeit a building, tree, structure, some sort of other man-made object, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't involve
antennas.
So it doesn't involve like noise.
Not typically, but you could have a separate noise easement for, you know, for the airport.
Shane, go ahead.
I didn't want to interrupt that answer. That was a very interesting point. I wanted to follow up on that. So Shane McLaughlin, for the record. I'm not familiar with a noise easement, or it's been so long since I've been in school.
Yep.
That's something that fell off the radar a while ago. Can you bring us up to speed on noise easement?
I don't typically have any good examples of that. It would be something I'd have to research. We've typically just done navigation easements, and in that it just basically states that there's an airport, so expect dust, fumes, fuel particles, noise, etc. Typical of a typical airport.
Yeah, so I made that up.
So the noise easement is an interesting concept in the abstract. And, the question would be whether the owner might be amenable to the imposition of a noise easement. I suppose you'd have a decibel level, maybe, or something like that.
Right. And the airport actually did a noise study back in 2008, I think it was. And they do that 65 dBL contour and everything.
So if I could plant the seed on that, just for something maybe for your own internal conversation, to contemplate the concept of requesting, in addition to the navigation easement, which I think is very important to protect the Part 77 surface, mm-hmm. the slope on the others, that you might contemplate requesting, in accordance with the noise footprint that we have for that area, and feel free to jump in that, or Nick, on that, in terms of the proper terminology, but you might contemplate requesting that they accept also a noise easement to, I'm going to use a number, 85 decibels or whatever the footprint might suggest is going to be. You're going to have to help me with the terminology, the generally accepted or typical or maximum, you know, for turbine aircraft taking off type thing.
Yeah, it would be probably a maximum that was done, like I said, based on the noise report that was done in 2008. And they actually did it to the new runways as well as the old runways. So those contours actually do exist. We do have those.
If you have that in the a noise space even in there, it's the key is, and you, I think, to follow up on your question, the easement is in perpetuity.
Right.
And it's a big flag. Unfortunately, it doesn't impact value, although if you want to live there, not necessarily adversely too much. But it would be a flag to whoever's buying it that what you really can't complain about the noise.
Don't call the
manager. Right.
And so that's usually tied into the aggregation use, and we usually tie in the noise and, like I said, the additional
disruption.
Dust. Fumes, particles, fuel particles, disruptions, things like that you would typically see. That's usually bundled into the aggregation easement. It's just not as specifically called out with the decibels, but something we can start to take a look at.
Do you guys see?
I'll point out something from personal experience. They're going to run into the lender. I can tell you that when I had my house appraised, they kind of apologetically said, well, we had to mark your appraisal down because, you know, there's an airport right there. So, you know, the buyer takes out a mortgage, they won't be able to say they didn't know this airport.
That might be so, but having said that, that's really the seller's responsibility in terms of they're trying to develop it for residential. It's probably joint residential industrial at that location.
Like, don't know off the top of my head.
But nevertheless, you're trying to further develop and continue residential usage of that property area, which is really more mixed industrial and with an airport.
Do you see any, you mentioned that they would entertain a
lot from
the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any benefits
there? Where it's in the airport's runway protection zone, I definitely see a benefit. I mean, that's something that the FAA strongly encourages and pushes airports to gain control of land within the RTZ. I believe it would be certainly eligible for FAA funding. If you think about the two lots across the street, the airport spends a considerable amount of money purchasing those properties and then subsequently demoing them, including relocation assistance for the property owner. So, personally, my recommendation would be if you can control that, I would strongly recommend that the airport look to control that land and purchase it.
That we acquire is adjacent to our fence. It's easy for us to maintain.
Yep.
And it's obvious that it belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
You take a lot across the street behind next door to the house.
Yep.
Now you've got to worry about who's going to cut the grass next to this house.
Yeah.
And they decided to put their RV on there. Or they've extended their barbecue patio or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really need to look at that.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't see a big. I mean, I see it obviously, yes, adjacent to the airport, but it's not. You're going to have other buildings in between that lot and the airport.
You do. Yes.
So you would almost have to just, you know, buy the whole area.
Right.
Which is
very unlikely given the established buildings. I think the one thing the other thing that I took from the planning board meeting is they were just there that evening seeking approval to subdivide it.
Mm-hmm.
So there hasn't been any plans to build anything. There's no known plans at this point in time. I think he's looking to put a residential dwelling on it, but nothing's been laid out. There's nothing set in stone.
Sure.
If the airport were to go in a different direction as opposed to purchasing it, it may make sense to get, you know, a draft aggregation easement in place that you would perhaps present to the planning board and say this is language that we would like to see associated with any approval of any structure out there, and then that would protect the airport's services as an alternative.
In a conversation that I had with Carol from New Hampshire DOT long time ago with respect to the Ford House, he said the moment that thing goes up for sale or it becomes available, they'll find the money to buy that house and tear it down, et cetera. but I don't believe that we should be that enthusiastic about buying property.
I would say that that holds true for all property within the airport's runway protection zone, regardless of whether or not it's in proximity to the airport or not. I suspect you would probably say the same thing.
Carol said the exact same thing to me, Bob, and I think you're right, Matt. Mm-hmm. She'd jump all over that.
If it's within that boundary, and I know, Director, you said you'd have to almost buy that whole corner and all the businesses and everything. Well, this is the first step towards that.
Wes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to reinforce that. It's a higher priority. If you want to reduce your liability to having a Gulfstream go out into the runway, you should suggest that they fund buying that office condo complex and level that. I would do that well before I started going off to the side and looking at residential lots.
I think we want to, the city would take us on that because it's a big piece of property to the city.
I just suggested it's a higher priority. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it becomes targets of opportunity, priorities, you know.
In Proverbs, I think you remember when we bought those two properties on the corner, the authority was trying to figure out what to do with them.
We're still
thinking about, you know, gardens and parks and benches and things like that. And we brought some of those ideas into DOT, and they said that RPZ, FAA would never buy off on it because you want to limit the amount of congregating people in that area, in a park or benches and, you know, gardens, things like that, that would attract more people into it. So, the land use. And again, getting back to the subdivision itself, there is an airport overlay district in the zoning maps where any structure within certain areas would have to be reviewed by the airport authority. So if they do propose anything, you'll have first right of refusal if it doesn't meet you know the criteria of protecting your approaches.
Okay, so any other questions for the engineers this evening? Okay, so moving on to committees, Master Plan Committee. I think we've already covered that during the engineer report, unless anybody has any additional questions. Okay, old business, HB 124. So what's happening there is the governor has, signed into law Senate Bill 565, which restructures the aircraft registration fees. The ceremonial signing ceremony is tomorrow morning at 10:30, I believe, in the governor's office.
Correct.
And some people from the, from the airport will be headed up to Concord, I think, to attend that. I wish to be among those, but unfortunately, one of my meetings at work got shifted and conflicts with that, and it's not a meeting I can get out of, so I'm going to miss it. But.
Are you going?
Yes.
Okay. Chris, you're going
on
the
Sunday.
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Yep.
No.
So,
okay.
So,
I
would like to I would like to put Wes on the spot because he was one of the folks who was responsible for helping HB 124 get off the ground and he crunched a lot of numbers that were presented to our lawmakers, that basically got their attention. They went, holy cow, we've got to fix this. And fast forward, the end result is Senate Bill 565, which, as I said, the governor signed into law, but the ceremonial signing is tomorrow.
Actually, Farrell, I discussed it with Harold Parker from the governor's office, and they signed in, was it 565 last week? They're actually going to sign HB 124 tomorrow. There's actually two bills that are identical. So it's actually not a ceremonial signing, it's an actual signing of the bill.
Oh, okay.
And he couldn't explain why. He goes, I've seen this in other cases, and it's just another case.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
It's an identical bill.
Go ahead, Bob.
Chris, has the good news of this been put on our website and the new rates?
The new rates?
The registration rates?
No, they have not.
Perhaps we should put it on. again falling into the market.
Yep, absolutely.
Good news happen.
Yep, we can do that.
The good news, and oh, by the way, your fees go up every year. Okay. Assessment fees.
No, not much.
Well, I'm going from paying $48 to $100.
That's from that sort of area.
That's
but double. My fees are doubling. What kind of bill is this?
You got the money,
right? No, I divide it by 16. It's even better.
Well, the folks who might be a little bit grumpy are the owners of aircraft that aged out of the millage system, and who now get to pay some money based on weight.
Mm-hmm. Incentive to buy new aircraft then.
So. New business. So I guess under new business, Shane, did you want to? You mentioned to me earlier, before we started the meeting, that you might have been premature in retracting your request for the renewals.
Yes.
You might have been, or you were.
And I've had the pleasure of having an opportunity to have a briefing, provide a briefing on the matter to Chris Lynch, my manager, and also to Arcady this afternoon. Chris is in a position to brief you further if you wish, and is authorized to share the details as you know under an NDA at this point. The recommendation was made to me that we hold the matter in advance at this time. I'd be happy to discuss it further, but okay. It's a sensitive matter.
So you're not asking the board to you're not asking the board to take action on your.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. You're not rescinding the rescission.
Pardon?
You're not rescinding the rescission.
Somebody
said about you wanted to rescind. You may have been premature, but you do still want to you want to just not make the request.
At this time.
Yes.
Okay. We just want the updated.
So there's nothing nothing
between consideration for this.
Right. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
So fair enough. I was going to make a motion often in July, in our July meeting, so that we can all have a little break for the summer. Is there any discussion about me suggesting that we cancel the July meeting? Does anyone have any besides Chris?
I personally am all for canceling it, but we had a discussion with a potential new tenant for the airport that would like to present the plan to us in the July meeting. They wanted to do it for this month's meeting, but they were too late in their planning. And they're trying to take up residency here at the end of the summer. So if we can't hold the July meeting, I think that we need to make a special meeting so that we can accommodate their requests. There's some construction requests, etc. And this is all... They need to take care of this before they sign their lease with the
Will they
lessor.
Definitely be coming forward in July? Is that a definite?
That's what they told me.
Is this something that needs to be conducted in closed session? Or
it can be. It's real estate, so it can be conducted in closed session.
Well, if we're gonna have to meet anyway, we might as well meet. Like, what difference does it make if we meet in closed session?
But you can make it a different date than what we normally meet.
Yeah,
to work around people's vacations.
We can do that. We can suspend the July meeting, normal meeting, but then when we find out their schedule, this potential tenant schedule, we can then schedule assuming our bylaws allow for it, we'll schedule a special meeting to address that in closed session.
Speaking of which,
does that make sense?
We still haven't had any air direct, the new owners of air direct come before us or anything like that.
Susan has contacted them numerous times.
And that is the policy that if you begin your business or taking over a business from the airport, you come before the board. What should we? how should we encourage that? I'd like to meet them and talk to them. And if this other company is presenting to us, I mean, we welcome everybody. It's wonderful.
And we've explained that to them.
Yeah. It's nice to know what's going on the airport.
Shy of dragging them in, give me a suggestion.
You know, so if this other company is coming before just to present their plans, do they need approval from the board?
Yes.
So that would normally be a closed session kind of...
Right, real estate.
So, yeah, I mean, if you want to suspend the July, if we're allowed to do that, I don't know, we can do that, then...
Well, the mechanics, you know, if we meet solely to discuss that, then the mechanics are that we do have to announce the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to follow, it's like all, the 91A stuff with regards to our public meetings. But we are permitted to go in, we are permitted to open the meeting publicly.
Yeah.
And then we are permitted to vote to go into a closed session.
All right, so I'm not going to make a motion to... Just skip the July. Nobody else can if they want, but we might as well just have a meeting if we're
going to
have a
meeting.
Yeah, let's plan on having July. Yes.
Yeah.
And then just the agenda is
just
going
to
have like three lines on it.
Sure, it could be a short
meeting.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's. We don't have any new business before the board this evening. We've already discussed upcoming events, I believe.
Yes.
And that brings us to public input. Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, so director's comments then. I'll start off on my right, Bob, please.
Yes, thank you. Great job on the barbecue. I think I saw a lot of smiling people there. I think that's probably a very good indication. Nice job to everybody there. We're going to need new bank cards. And you might want to just delay it a little bit, depending upon when the next board member comes in, because as you know, everybody set aside all new cards, and it's a pain in the neck. With respect to the subject of marketing, I was talking with Shane about this the other day. In addition to what I had said previously about, let's blow our horn about what the success of SB565. Why don't we also include in our marketing concept T-shirts or nice shirts that advertise the airport with the logo, maybe some aviation pictures on the back or something, baseball type caps. Every time I go out someplace, I always see people wearing hats from various airports, or shirts and stuff like that. I just think we should throw that into our marketing plan to do that.
Sure.
Chris and I have already discussed it briefly. And finally, we currently have 3 certificates of deposit in the amount of $226,310. One of those expired in March and was renewed for a 3-year period at 0.5%. And the second one expires in August, and the third one expires in November of this year. In March of this year, I went online and bought certificates of deposit for 2.1%. And I checked this afternoon, and the size of that CD, we could get over 3%. So I think the Bar Harbor Bank saw us coming.
I think that the difficult problem that you're having with the bank is, and I run into this a lot, try to contact them for a bank. When you open the CD, you can't have an account at that bank. What I'm running into is unless you have a personal checking account or a business account with that current bank, they're not going to offer you the rates that they're going to offer their own customers.
Well, I had an account that I was in the hidden town that I kept just as a flush fund, and I was getting about 15 cents a year in interest, and I went over and I closed the account and put it into some really nice CDs, and the bank also said, well, why are you closing your account? And I took my bank statement and I pointed to 15 cents and he says, oh yeah, but I have the account.
Okay.
I recommend you that we break that That CD for $69,175 was renewed in March at 0.5%, yeah. And today we can get 3% for it.
Okay. What's the...
And if the bank wants to say, okay, you've got to have some savings account and such and such, you go somewhere else. We'll just only go online and buy a CD. I just think we're not taking full advantage of $226,000 in the bank. And we certainly should do that with one in August and one in November, but we should not allow 0.5% to hold for another 3 years.
Well, Bob, is there, if we do this 3%, what's the duration that we have to sign
well,
up for?
Well, when I threw in the dollar numbers for 1 year, I got 3%. Okay. If you go to the 4 or 5 years that we have here, the percentage goes up. Now,
right.
Clearly, but over the course of this year, interest rates are going to go up. So I would say our CD should not go beyond a year.
Okay, and we don't anticipate needing any of that cash in a year.
Well, at least it gives you the flexibility to roll it over into a higher paying CD.
I agree, but anything that's in a CD, whatever term is, you don't want to get into the thing with the idea of breaking it because it is a cost. But my point is that is there a cash flow that we've done for the next year and a year and a half that will say, okay, this is truly idle cash, that it's investable cash. And a year is not a very long time, but I just want to make sure we're not going to need that money in a year. That's all.
That has been the case over the last few years. Mm-hmm. That's why Michael directed Susan to reinvest these. We did a reinvestment, was it last year?
Okay, so we typically carried this $300,000 for several years.
Yeah.
We haven't had to go...
Well, we added another 75 last year, is that correct?
Yeah, we increased. I have to look that up.
I've got the dates here. The oldest one expires in November of 18. The next one is August of 18. And the third one, we just renewed it in March, and it expires in 21.
That's the one that we need to take care of.
Yeah, definitely to take care of that one.
And the other thing that we want, like I said, when I was calling out for banks and things, was the Enterprise actually gave us a good rate, even though we didn't have an account with them. And that was abnormal, but because we knew what we did it for us. We did have one at the Merrimack County was saving, and then those rates went up. We terminated it, and we upped it because the penalty was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to make out on the end. So the Bar Harbor one is the only one that I was having a hard time finding where I should transfer it to. So if you have a bank or a suggestion of where I can transfer.
Yeah, I mean, I just went online this afternoon. St. Croney's paying 3%, you know, and
I'm just so hands-on banking in the area, so this whole new online thing with me is new to me.
I can tell you that, Bar Harbor Bank, which is like Sunapee, which is
National Bank.
I'm actually doing a corporate photo shoot there next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the regional VP of the bank is going to be there.
Okay.
So before we move anything, I can just put a little bug in his ear and say, hey, look, we got 70 grand with you guys.
Right.
We're going to move it. What can you do for us?
Mm-hmm. Right. When I do talk to them about that I'd have to, yeah. That we're considering moving the funds out.
Well, that's because you're talking to a teller.
Right.
Yeah.
So how come we can't do two CDs at the same time? I'm sorry, I don't have time.
FDIC.
We can only have
$250,000
in each bank.
All
right. Wes?
So listening to all this financial discussion, I might have just gotten my answer, but why don't you speak with the Fidelity? Right. Is it the FDIC? Is it a security issue? They handle
the feedback. Yeah, I was out there, they told me $18 billion.
Right.
In your pocket.
Okay. I just want to, again, thank Susan for, I'm very busy, and she has been very helpful with keeping me up to date, briefing me on little bits and pieces of things. And this is really I mean, I'm really doing a great job. Thrilled by that. And really, all the work you guys did on the House bill, Senate bill, whatever, I'm really I'm shocked that it went so. I mean, it might not seem quick, but to me, I thought it was quick, quicker than I thought it would be. It did make sense, and you guys were all great about, you know, putting the numbers together and doing that stuff. So congratulations and thank you for that.
Okay. So, thank you for putting on the customer appreciation, barbecue the other day. I could see, Matt and Joe did a lot of work.
Matt ran the show.
Yep. And they did a lot of work to obviously get it going. When I showed up, it's like it was kind of winding down, and you saw Matt and Joe going at it, tearing everything down, getting everything put away. So they did a whole bunch of work behind the scenes. I really appreciate that. Again, we talked about HB 124, SB 565. I think this is a great outcome. We're looking forward to having some more business at the airport based on that. I think that's about it for me for the moment. Dave?
Yes.
Director's Relax, do you have any this evening?
I think I already sent them.
Oh, okay.
No, this is going to be fun. I think I've already got a list of things from a business development perspective that I think we need to just, I think that's number one initiative, I guess, if you will. I like the comments about taking advantage of this whole, not just the overall runway issue, but, being able to encapsulate that and really get it out to the people that we're trying to attract here. I kind of knew this was a great group coming in. Nothing changed that tonight. Of course, the jury's still out. But thank you for inviting me, and this is going to be a good run.
Okay. Yes. Do we need to go into non-public?
Yes.
Yeah. So I need a motion to adjourn to non-public session to discuss personnel issues.
Yes. All right. I'll make a motion to adjourn public session to go into non-public to discuss personnel.
Second.
Second.
Okay, this requires a roll call vote.
Director Woods?
Yes. Okay.
What? I'm sorry. Chairman?
Yay?
I'm missing something. You want me to do the roll call vote?
Yes.
All right. Vice Chairman Adam Cushing? Director Heath?
Yes.
And Secretary Scheifel?
Yes.
Okay, motion's carried. Yeah. You're adjourned.
I have a portfolio.